In the bitter winter of 1777, freedom and bondage dance an impossible waltz across America's revolutionary landscape. Through the eyes of Curzon, a young black soldier who has escaped slavery, we witness the fundamental contradiction at the heart of America's birth, a fight for liberty led by men who owned slaves. After separating from his companion Isabel over their search for her sister Ruth, Curzon finds himself alone and betrayed once again when a wagon driver refuses to pay him for weeks of labor. Taking justice into his own hands, he steals silverware as compensation and flees into the wilderness near Saratoga. Hidden behind a fallen oak, Curzon becomes an unwitting witness to the opening moments of the Second Battle of Saratoga. When he spots a young patriot soldier about to fall victim to a British bayonet, he instinctively hurls stones at the redcoat with deadly accuracy. The grateful soldier, Eben Woodruff, embraces Curzon as a fellow fighter for the American cause. Despite the irony of a former slave fighting for a nation that embraces slavery, Curzon finds himself swept into the Continental Army, claiming the fallen redcoat's musket and experiencing an unexpected revelation amid the chaos of battle, a profound sense of belonging among men united not by chains, but by choice. After the Patriots' victory, Curzon enlists in the 16th Massachusetts Regiment as Curzon Smith. The army unexpectedly becomes his family. He shares a tent with five others: friendly Eben, cynical Sylvanus, steady Luke Greenlaw, storyteller Hugh Faulkner, and Peter Brown, whose cooking improves their meager rations. Though John Burns hurls racial epithets and tries forcing Curzon into extra duties, most tent mates treat him as an equal, sharing everything from beef to spare socks. When Burns bullies Curzon, Sergeant Woodruff intervenes swiftly, providing protection rarely available to black Americans of that era. During marches, Curzon's thoughts constantly return to Isabel, wondering if she found winter shelter, reached Charleston, or located Ruth. His tentmate Benjamin Edwards, a scholarly 15-year-old with a worn copy of Plutarch's Lives, shares ancient tales by firelight, providing intellectual companionship reminiscent of Curzon's discussions with Isabel. These bonds of brotherhood, forged through shared hardships and daily kindnesses, make the coming betrayals all the more devastating. December brings Curzon's company to Valley Forge for winter encampment, where human endurance is tested to its limits. Freezing temperatures, inadequate shelter, and near starvation reduce strong men to shadows. Their first meal, fire cake, a primitive bread of flour and water cooked on heated rocks, tastes of ashes and dirt, making Curzon's stomach cramp despite his throat rejecting it. The soldiers must build log huts with severely limited tools, one axe and three shovels for 80 men. They work in shifts with bleeding hands from handling rough timber and freezing cold. Christmas brings knee-high snow, their thin blankets offering little protection. When a supply wagon's horse collapses and dies, arguments erupt about using it for meat. Yet humanity persists through camaraderie and dark humor in their crowded tent. By January, they complete their windowless, smoky shelter, a palace compared to before. When congressional visitors arrive in warm wool coats, Curzon stands barefoot in snow, fighting tears as he waits for his feet to go numb, a stark illustration of ordinary people's sacrifice for liberty. Curzon's world collapses when James Bellingham, his former master, appears among the congressional committee at Valley Forge. Despite his military service and the respect of fellow soldiers, Curzon is reduced to property when he attempts to claim the freedom Bellingham once promised. His reminder is met with violence and dismissal. In the subsequent court-martial, a 2-1 vote upholds Bellingham's ownership claim, exposing the revolution's fundamental contradiction. Leaders who denounce British tyranny see no conflict in maintaining slavery. At Moore Hall, Curzon suffers the indignity of serving the very congressional committee that denied his freedom. Bellingham forces him to exploit his position as an invisible black servant to gather intelligence from powerful men's private conversations. The final blow comes when Bellingham introduces his newest purchase, Isabel, Curzon's long-lost friend and fellow escapee. Their unexpected reunion, rather than joyful, highlights their renewed enslavement and shared tragedy. Isabel's reappearance transforms the narrative from a war story into a complex tale of love, betrayal, and struggle for dignity under bondage. When Curzon confronts her coldness, Isabel reveals she cannot escape. Bellingham has forced her to wear an iron collar with bells that he keeps locked. The collar symbolizes both physical and psychological torture, chafing her skin and announcing her every movement. After three escape attempts with increasing punishments, Isabel now feigns acceptance, hoping Bellingham might remove it. Their relationship evolves from antagonism to partnership as they secretly plot escape. In an intimate moment, Isabel shaves Curzon's face with remarkable gentleness. Curzon shares stories of his father who bought freedom through extra work and his Brazilian slave mother who died after childbirth. Their emotional reconnection peaks when Curzon confesses, "You have always been my heart, country." Their romance flourishes despite their circumstances as they draw strength from each other. When Bellingham reveals he has sold Isabel to a Maryland colonel, their situation turns desperate. After failing to cast a key from melted musket balls, they develop a plan involving forged notes and stolen money. Isabel boldly dresses in breeches for mobility, a change that proves both practical and occasionally distracting to Curzon. Their plans nearly collapse when Bellingham returns unexpectedly. During the confrontation, Isabel strikes him with her shovel, the very tool of her enslavement. In a moment of poetic justice, they secure Bellingham in his own barn, placing the iron collar around his neck and binding him with the chains that once held them. Their escape unfolds through Valley Forge, where they find unexpected allies among Curzon's former company. The journey culminates when Isabel hurls Bellingham's key into the Chaco River, a powerful rejection of enslavement. "I laughed," Curzon narrates, "walking out with my friends just as I had walked in." This simple statement captures his evolution from reluctant soldier to committed patriot, from isolated individual to community member, and from enslaved to free. Valley Forge functions as both setting and metaphor, a forge transforming metal and men through fire and pressure. Curzon enters bitter and disillusioned, emerging with forged steel strength and deeper understanding of freedom and community. Similarly, the Continental Army transforms from disorganized farmers into a disciplined fighting force under Baron von Steuben's training. Like the nascent nation, Curzon and Isabel remain works in progress, forged in revolution but still defining what freedom truly means. Their story reminds us that America's founding ideals, however imperfectly realized, contain seeds of a more inclusive future, requiring generations of struggle to bring to fruition. Their journey reflects our ongoing national struggle to reconcile America's promise of freedom with its history of oppression, and to forge from that contradiction a more perfect union.